Oh, that's good.
I like that you're like embarrassed about eating.
Oh, I didn't. Well, everyone was quiet, so I didn't know if it was like there's an intro and then.
Well, I was about to do the intro, but then you started.
Okay, I'll be quiet.
No, it's fine. Go ahead, eat while I intro. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 86th episode of the Dapper Gaming Podcast. I'm your host Ryan. With me, as always, Joe.
What's up?
Special friend of the show, returning guest, other Ryan. Well, hey. I mean, in his life, people call him Ryan. I don't call him other Ryan because
how are we gonna do this conversation? That's
fine.
For a later time.
We'll figure it out.
We'll just call you RBGC.
Okay.
I think that's what I labeled him as in the podcast, rather than Ryan, because Ryan's video game corner is way too goddamn long. And then other special guest, friend of the show, never been on the show, Christina.
Hello.
Why don't we go around? What have you guys been up to in like the last week or so? Why don't we start with Joe?
Why do we always have to start with me?
Because you're the co-host.
Fine. I really haven't been doing much. I've been busy working, so there hasn't been much video game playing. I played a little bit of Minecraft. That's really about it. Just a lot of work. Been a busy man. And watching E3.
We'll get around to that later.
Yes.
What have you been up to, Christina?
I'm crunching for a video game I'm working on. I'm actually opening up the model. I gotta finish low polying and unwrapping, but
is like that Kickstarter one? The one with the...
I'm like working on a tank.
Yeah, the tanks.
Yeah, because I finished the low poly at my friend's place. I actually like stayed there like all night last night. And I was like working on stuff until like 4 a.m. But
is that Kickstarter up yet?
No, or... they realized that you can't just do a Kickstarter in like a month, that it's better to have like a more fleshed out game than get more funding for it. And they're like, oh, that's how these things work. I'm like, yes, that's how you make video games. You put a lot of work in and then you see a payoff later. But yeah, and then I've just been playing a Dragon Age Inquisition.
How are you liking that game?
It's nice. I feel like that's like a proper sequel to Origins, not like 2.
2 was
terrible.
Awful.
Yeah,
it was
but
one
like
of the worst games. I felt so betrayed.
The gameplay is really refined in Inquisition. Like it just like feels responsive, so I like it.
Yeah, like it's not as hardcore of like a traditional top-down Baldur's Gate style RPG as Origins
was.
You
can't even zoom out that much.
But it's close enough, whereas like 2 was Mass Effect with dragons.
There
wasn't even any fucking dragons, so
and you
what
get
the shit?
Funny guy option in 2.
Yeah.
Sounds like my kind of game.
What have you been up to, Ryan?
Well, I recently just finished a really great candy bar. And then, in terms of games, I've been meaning to finish Far Cry 4. That's something that I've been working on for a while now, like almost a month or two. Because this other stupid game keeps getting in the way, and that's Destiny. And I keep playing it.
Stop playing Destiny. That's all I have to say.
I can't.
Why are you still playing? You have to have everything at this point.
I went back into it, Ryan, and I couldn't stop playing. And then I looked at it and I was like, I got to Mercury and I've done everything in the expansion. Why am I still playing? And I just stopped.
I don't know. I think
if you haven't gotten to Mercury yet, then you need to keep playing.
Yeah, I'm not good. I can't do that. I don't have the PvP skills. Everyone that I play with, and that's the thing, the reason why I keep playing is like every Sunday we have a group of people that always want to go through the raids, and then every Tuesday that's when it resets, and then the same people that do the raids are like, okay, well, who wants to do Nightfalls and who wants to do all that stuff? So I like It has been scaled back a bit, so now I only do it like I only play like twice a week, but still, it's still in a still something that I'm investing in.
Just gotta remember, RVGC is more important.
It should be. It should be. So, and I'm also I just came back from the show floor of E3, so I just put up a video. So
if you've watched his video, you'll not hate him.
Okay.
No, you'll be jealous.
You will be jealous. Super jealous.
Okay. So, I'll have to watch it.
The show floor, and I got some good footage, so go check that out. And I am working on a new video that I'm trying to get out before next weekend. There's a Too Many Games convention, and I gotta get that out before Too Many Games. Too many.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's what I've been doing. Been busy playing Destiny.
Are you? I guess you're going to Too Many Games, right?
Yeah.
I keep meaning to go, but then don't have the money because it's a long way to go.
You got to acquire that money. I know. By any means necessary.
Oh yeah, Ryan, I'm going to Vancouver at the end of July or something.
Come over to the island. We're only like a 2-hour ferry ride.
Really?
Yeah. Like
that's cool.
It's like a half an hour drive, but there's no bridge, so you have to take the ferry, and the ferry is 2 hours. But they keep talking about building a bridge.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a one day we'll get to it.
One day we'll have a bridge. Well, the Trans-Canada Highway was supposed to like connect over to the island and like by a bridge, but instead there's just this segment of ocean, and then the Trans-Canada Highway just starts again. Ooh. But yeah, you should come over to the island. We got game studios.
Yeah, I'll call. I'm gonna like visit a bunch of places. I'll be there for like a week and a half, I think. Almost 2 weeks, so we'll have time to do a bunch. And I'm going to Kelowna or something.
Yeah, that's like on the interior. It's like a desert.
There's like a festival there my aunt wants to take me to.
Wicked.
So.
Well, we'll figure that shit out. On podcast time. People came to hear about the video games.
No, yes, I'd like to hear more about your schedules. Your traveling schedules.
Well,
because Ryan's a stalker. That's why.
Well, that's I'm at UVic Mondays to Fridays, 10 to 4.
Okay, wait, let me write this down. Don't go so fast.
All right. I've pretty much only been playing Dota 2 and then the Steam sale. The Steam sale. I don't think that you can win the Steam sale. I think the Steam sale always beats you. I bought some video games, played them for 30 seconds, and went, I'm going to play more Dota. And so I don't know if those were great choices to make, because I think I spent like $40. But Dota 2, we're getting close to that international. The only thing more important than E3, the international. Anyways, you guys want to get on to some third-party E3 jazz?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So, the way that I was thinking about recording this, breaking this up, is we do the third-party stuff, then we'll do the first-party stuff. Because clearly, the only thing people want to talk about is Shenmue 3. But we're going to wait.
I'm not the only one that thinks it looks bad.
Well,
I think
all of the Shenmue games are a special set of games.
I mean, I think like the video that they showed was like a concept. Hopefully, I'm hoping it was a concept.
Yeah.
If that's what it's gonna look like, then no thanks. Even though I am one of the people that wanted Shenmue to come back, I was like, oh yeah, oh, uh oh.
Like, why does it still look like a GameCube game? I don't understand.
It's like, oh, they're still running. That must be the Xbox version. Nope, that's what they're aiming for. I hope not.
Yeah.
Didn't they get funded in the night?
Yeah, it got funded in a couple hours.
Yeah, like 9 hours or something like that.
I think it was less than that.
Okay.
It was at like a million by the end of the conference.
Nine micro hours.
3 million right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, we'll get around to Shenmue later. So, did you guys Did you guys watch the Bethesda one?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I got, was I watching it? Yeah, I think I was. Oh, that was
it was at a poor hour because it was right at the same time as Game of Thrones. So
I was eating, I think I was watching on Twitch while raiding in Destiny, so.
So, the funny thing about that is that I'm probably more excited for Dishonored 2 than I am Fallout 4, and I think people will be mad at me about that. I thought, like, the Dishonored games were just way better, and then also, like, the new like, twist, I guess, on Dishonored 2 is that you're playing the same characters as the first one, but then also the, like, small girl that you're protecting in the first one, and you get to, like, switch between the characters, and they have different abilities.
Now, is this set, like, years after, because I haven't played Dishonored 1. I have it on my queue, Xbox queue. So is this set years after?
I'd assume so, because the girl is now an adult, and she wasn't previously, so I'd assume there's been some time. But, like, yeah, I thought that game looked way better than Fallout 4. Fallout 4, like, the issue that I've had with the previous Fallout games is that, okay, well, it's not, like, previous Fallout games. It's previous Fallout game, Fallout 3. And then also, like, all of Bethesda's RPGs. So, like, Oblivion, Skyrim. Is that they try to make these characters, like, go around the world and do stuff. But there's not enough, like, density in characters that I find the world, like, pretty empty. And then in the case of Fallout, like, thematically, that world is supposed to be empty, which makes it boring for the most part. Like, the thing that was cool about Fallout New Vegas was that you, like, had that big, because it never got hit by bombs, you had the big town, like, the big city.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, at least the game felt, like, more populated than previous Fallout games, whereas, like, Fallout 3 was, like, a pretty empty and boring environment.
Well, weren't a lot of those games limited because of the consoles anyways? Like, they couldn't do things that are that extravagant because they wanted it to play properly on Xbox and PlayStation 3?
Well, with, like, Fallout 3, yes. With New Vegas, they, like, didn't do as much.
The problem I have with the Bethesda stuff is their horrible, horrible ability to sync lips to what they're saying. I noticed in Fallout 4, still not synced correctly to what they're saying, and it annoys the hell out of me.
There's an alpha build. I'll fix that.
Yeah, like, I don't know, those games just don't look very good, and, like, mechanically they're not very deep. Like, the issue that Bethesda has as a developer is that they make, like, these huge, huge games that have no depth to them. Like, there's no specific mechanic that is particularly interesting. They just put as much into a game that they can without actually, like, developing on top of that. They don't mm-hmm. refine anything. And it seems like that is still the same issue with this Fallout game, in that, like, you can build houses and build towns and stuff, but you, like, that's just, they haven't talked about fixing VATs, they haven't talked about making the shooting good, they haven't talked about developing the, like, the writing of the characters, because previous writing in Bethesda RPGs has been pretty atrocious. Storylines have been shallow and pretty generic, and the character dialogue has been sparse, to, like, say the least.
Well, I think it's because they're trying to showcase just how big they're making everything. And that, and of course, again, with, like, Fallout 4, it's like, look how huge and vast this is. But, like, I enjoyed Fallout 3, and some of the, like, stories and things like that, they were just kind of like a side thing for me. Everything else, like the characters and stuff like that, is what kept me playing Fallout 3. But, like, I couldn't get into, and maybe it's just different themes, like for Oblivion and Skyrim, I guess, because they're fantasy themes, but I couldn't get into the story because I didn't feel like I was part of one.
Well, to be fair, like, Skyrim's story was pretty garbage.
Okay.
I like Oblivion's story better.
Yeah, like, Oblivion had a pretty neat story.
But I played those games when I was also, like, in high school too, and it was the first time I ever played like big open world like first person RPGs like that, and I was like, whoa, this is so cool, and like get like so immersed in it because it's like the first time I played stuff like that. That's why I like Fallout 3 and Oblivion, because those are the first games I played like that.
Yeah, but I'm hoping for Fallout 4 because it feels like they are putting an emphasis on the story and stuff like that. I'm hoping that's what kind of drives it, other than like, even though they're talking about it, it's like, oh, look, you can make a whole town and stuff like that. Or you can make your own weapons and you can make your own, or not make your own armor, but you can customize everything. It's just so overwhelming, but I would like to stick around with a story and stick around with characters that I, you know, would care about. So that's like, I'm excited for Fallout 4, but I'm really hoping for something like that. Like Fallout 3, the Brotherhood of Steel, like the DLC, that ending DLC, I really enjoyed that because it was actually a story that I could follow. It was an ending that I could follow. But I mean, I'm excited for Fallout 4. I'm not as excited as like everyone is making it out to be. I'm like, oh, cool, Fallout 4.
But, yeah, like Fallout 4 is not the game of E3 for me. Like, it's not the one that I'm most excited for, and I'm not gonna go like pre-order it right now with a giant Pip-Boy thing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the customization stuff that they were showing off, and like the towns with running the electricity to all the different things and be able to like control how all your stuff works in the town through a console. I thought that was really cool, and it's something that I love to play around with a while and just like build like a giant fort and fend it off against raiders and stuff like that. I think that'd be an awesome time. That's one thing I definitely look forward to in that game. Plus the pre-bombing thing was really interesting, but that's like, it seems like the only point that they're using that is for like the intro, and doesn't seem like they're gonna go back to it after you like, after basically what they showed at E3. Like, you've seen all the pre-war stuff that they have to offer now after E3. So I hopefully it'll kind of shift in and out of like pre-war stuff and not pre-war stuff, but who knows what they'll do.
I mean, I think that's what your character will probably be motivated. I think the pre-war and post-war is going to be your motivation for your character. That's what I'm thinking, because apparently you're the same character that emerges 200 years later. How does that happen? Story.
Cryostasis.
That's what I thought.
I really liked when they were doing the character creation, because it was like, so you're standing there in the mirror, and then you just pick a part on your face and horribly deform it while your partner stands there looking on in horror.
The person behind is just like, oh,
while
just
that person is behind you staring at the mirror, like, they should just have the most like disgusting, horrified face.
What's going on,
like,
with your face?
They should just be like freaking out that this face is like morphing, their skin color is changing, everything is going wrong.
They should add, it's like, do you need me to call 911? Are you having an allergic reaction? What's going on here with your face?
Yeah, they should not be standing there looking nonchalantly as their significant other just like morphs into a horrible human being, into a monster. Yeah.
Not just a bad person.
Did you guys see the Doom stuff?
Yes.
So Doom Guy confirmed for next Mortal Kombat DLC, right?
Wait, what?
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not too impressed by what I saw.
You don't like the fatalities that are in Doom now for whatever reason?
No, it's like from the gameplay I saw, it looked too slow for a Doom game. And
at the beginning, that's what I thought, but it like sped up a lot.
It sped up
a
little bit. Like by the end of it, it was still a little bit too slow for me. I don't know.
I thought I was watching, I don't know if I was watching the same one or not, but to me, it felt uncomfortably fast. Or I don't know.
Well, like Doom used to be really, really fast, right? Like Doom and Quake. And I don't think that it's as fast as those old games, like the originals. But it looked way faster than like a counterpart like Halo or Titanfall, and Call of Duty, and those games have been speeding up a lot. So it's not like,
I don't know. The guns look cool. Some of them look cool, and like it looked like they shot well. And there are some that just looked really not fun to use, like the assault rifle kind of gun that they showed off that kind of like shot plasma balls out of it. That looked like a really crappy, not fun to use gun. And it's Doom.
Yeah,
it's
but
supposed to be awesome.
Every gun can't be totally rad because like
I know, but it's like
then it
the
makes
shotgun,
the other guns
the
not look
were cool, but it was like
yeah, but the shotgun is always cool because it like gibs motherfuckers, and then you use the BFG because you just like need to blow people to bits. But like the generic guns, like there's always a couple of generic guns, and they're never that interesting.
Those are your starting guns, really.
Yeah,
but I mean it's the same thing
in like Halo.
I mean, like it really needs better sound effect design on it. Like the sounds that some of the guns were using were just not the right sounds. It did not sound good when the guns were shooting to me.
Yeah, I've heard that complaint. I think that's fair.
Yeah, but like
again,
the
it's
sound
still
design wasn't fantastic.
Early
yeah,
in development.
Like, yeah, games
yeah,
it
is
like a lot different than.
So hopefully that's something that they do touch up. But I don't know. It looked okay. I'm not too impressed by it, but I wasn't expecting anything amazing anyways. Doom's kind of been out of the loop for a while now.
Yeah, but seeing that like they managed to turn Wolfenstein around and like make it so goddamn insane on that last one, it like gave me hope for the new Doom.
I guess they're trying to do like a return to form on a lot of their games, really. Well,
yeah.
A lot, as in Wolfenstein and Doom.
And like the thing about Doom, like that I found most frustrating was because they're using all of the old original character designs, but like making them look like it's 2015. Some of them looked like pretty bland and boring. Like I thought a lot of the stuff could be cooler than what it looked like, and it's just because they're trying to like stick to those old sprites.
But is The Rock confirmed for Doom, or no? Is he sitting this Doom out?
I don't think he's in this Doom.
I was really looking forward to giant floating eyeballs with guns strapped to them, but we didn't get those.
Yeah.
Disappointed.
Game's not out yet, though. We could get some new trailers with giant floating eyeballs with guns.
The Rock DLC? I'd be down for that.
The Rock DLC.
Set in the season pass?
Hopefully.
Oops. So yeah, Doom was alright.
Yeah, and then I guess that's...
What else did Bethesda show? I know they had their iPhone app, which apparently...
Showed off Elder Scrolls Legends.
I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah.
It seems like everyone and their dog is making a fucking Hearthstone clone.
Yeah.
Because Hearthstone did so well that everyone needs to release a digital card game.
But it's like, really, what characters does Elder Scrolls have that you can put into a card game?
Patrick Stewart.
there's not much.
Yeah, you voice with Oblivion.
They have like all of the Daedra and all of the Divines, and then
it looks
like
cool,
they have a ton of characters, and then they have like the Septums, and
yeah,
like they have a really deep lore. But if you just play those video games and don't bother to like read the books lying around the world, then you would have no fucking clue what the actual story of the Elder Scrolls is.
Yeah, it looks cool, and I'm interested in it, and it's free to play, so there's not really a point in not trying it. So it's definitely something that's on my list to check out.
But they're not the only person doing a collectible card game. Like EA is doing one with Star Wars.
I already had like two of them, didn't they?
Star
Wars
probably,
card games.
Yeah, but not done by EA.
Oh, okay.
Because EA just got the license, man. They got to cash in and make their card game.
Yeah. There's a lot of them coming out. I hope there's some cool ones.
Did Scrolls ever come out from Mojang?
Can Konami
yes.
make a Yu-Gi-Oh one? I'd be okay
but,
with that.
Scrolls is not like a card game.
Okay.
It's a card game, but not a card game. It's like a tactics game, kind of, where you build a deck. And the deck is like the units that you place in your like in these lanes to play this tactics game.
Okay.
And so like there's a CCG element to it, but it's not like Hearthstone.
Okay.
And in fact, Scrolls is why this basically like, to my knowledge, the reason why Bethesda sued Mojang over Scrolls was specifically because they were making this card game.
Okay.
So
it was funny. I follow Captain Sparkles on Twitter, and he, as soon as Fallout 4 was Fallout Shelter was announced, he's like, I kind of understand the lawsuits now. Because Captain Sparkles made his own iPhone game, and it was originally titled Fortress Fallout, and Bethesda sent him a cease and desist to change the name on it. He's like, I kind of understand where they're coming from now with Fallout Shelter.
Yeah, I don't know how similar those games were, but...
Not at all. Completely yeah. different games, but it just had to do with the title, I guess.
Apparently, what, Fallout Shelter has surpassed, like, Candy Crush and... monetary gain or something.
Yeah,
I made a lot more money on it. Daily.
Let me go.
I've downloaded it and I'm interested in trying it. It looks fun.
It's all right.
Like as soon as I saw it, and I was like, "Oh, this is free. Might as well put it on my phone. Why not?"
Here's my problem with it. I can't leave the phone down for 12 hours, and then like come back and not have everything be on fire. Like you have to be constantly micromanaging it.
You can't,
or else
like
you run out of power and
you can't like double tap and swipe and just close the software.
If you close the software, like it's still running the sim, and then like you come back and it's like you didn't have power for 10 hours. Everyone is dying, and you're like, because I wasn't fucking playing your stupid micromanagement game where.
Yeah,
I like build the building, but then I have to wait 20 minutes for the fucking power to be there. So obviously I walked away. Like, why the fuck would I?
I had to sleep.
Yeah, like that people sucks. Do
you can't
things.
Sleep. You have a whole bunch of people to look after. Also, yeah. If you put the phone down, someone's going to shoot their face.
Also, a lot of people are annoyed that iPhone only, no Android or anything yet.
Yeah, well, they said Android was this summer.
I don't have any. Mac or iPad, iPhone.
So. I played it on the stolen property that I bought from someone.
I like how you phrase that.
That yeah. sounds legit.
I didn't steal the iPhone. I just bought it from someone who stole it.
Okay. Then it's fine.
They didn't even really steal it. The phone was lost, and then they just didn't return it to the person whose name was on it.
You know what else Bethesda showed off? More Elder Scrolls Online that no one cares about.
What is that game?
Literally in my notes that I was writing down from E3, all the notes I wrote down for Elder Scrolls Online was don't care.
I'm almost kind of interested in going back to that game only because it doesn't have a subscription now.
Yeah, but you still have to buy the game.
Yeah, but I'm fine with that.
I don't want to drop $60 on it.
I'm just saying if there was something like added to that game that was particularly interesting in the next year, then I would probably buy that game.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. So, let's move on to some EA.
I forgot about. All I remembered was Doom and Fallout.
There was one last thing. It's the everyone's doing it right now, TF2 clone, their Battlecry.
Oh, yeah, Battlecry. So, one of the things about Battlecry is that there's another game called Battleborn. Gearbox.
Yeah,
and they're like the same fucking game. Like they're not even a little bit different.
And then there was like what was the other one? Gigantic or something?
That is a MOBA. That is out and you can play it. Yeah, it's a lot like Smite.
Okay.
But like
I was like there's
looking.
Like three games that they announced at E3 that all look like TF2 games.
Well, now you have because Valve is doing Overwatch, yeah.
Yeah.
Blizzard.
Yeah,
Valve did TF2.
Yeah, that'd be strange to like release something directly competing against themselves.
My bad, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
This is stupid.
But
that's about all that they announced. That was
yeah. Battlecry
I have notes written down for.
Didn't interest me at all because
neither did it to me.
Like, Overwatch is coming out. Battleborn is coming out, TF2 is out, and TF2 is fantastic.
Yep.
And like Battlecry didn't
more
look
hats.
That good. Like that trailer that they showed had a really terrible blood effect that was just like a decal. Like they were just using like a texture to do blood, and so it looked totally flat. I was like, meh. But,
is this battle cry? Is this what you were talking about?
Yeah. It was like some weird alternative World War One, World War Two thing, which is the exact same as Battle Born. Last year was, they maybe talked about Battlecry last year, but they talked a lot about Battle Born.
Oh yeah, this was last. Yeah, I remember this from last year.
Yeah, well, there's also another one that looks the same, by Gearbox.
Yeah,
called Battle Born, and I know that they talked about a lot last year.
I think Battleborn is supposed to be like it is TF2 style, but I think it's their take on a MOBA that's first person.
Yeah, that's what Battleborn is. Yeah. But
yeah, I'm watching it. I'm watching Battlecry. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the art of it. Oh, Battlecry on the site, like, yeah, it looks alright.
There's only been one MOBA that's ever interested me, and it's been shut down, and that was the Transformers one.
I'd play that. Transformers.
Speaking of Transformers, yeah. You guys see that Transformers Devastation?
That was one thing I did not see that I...
Based Platinum. Fucking just the best developers in the world. Goddamn Platinum Games.
So
making everything.
Yeah, they announced like 4 games of C3. So what is the Transformers game? I did not see it.
Platinum fucking crazy action game, but with Transformers. And it's all the characters from the movie, the first movie.
Is it Cybertron or Earth?
Earth.
Okay.
The original cartoon series?
Like the 1960s Unicron movie?
Yeah, that.
Awesome.
That's what it looks like, and it's all those characters.
We need Weird Al in that game to
junkie on.
Yes.
So one of the coolest, one of like the weirdest things about that movie, I guess it's not super cool, but it is weird, is that Hasbro basically like made a list and sent it to the writers of that movie, and they're like, "Here's all the characters you have to kill," because they were all of the people that they weren't manufacturing toys for anymore.
Yeah, they killed them all in like the first 10 minutes in the first battle scene.
Yeah, they're like, we're not making Optimus Prime toys anymore, so you have to kill him.
That's also hilarious.
Like, that's why everyone in that movie died, is because
that movie
they were...
takes place in the futuristic year of 2005. Did you know that?
I did. I watched that movie last year, but then I watched it again a couple of weeks ago. It's so good.
It is.
So Transformers has already happened. So Unicron has already happened in our timeline, in our lifetime. We've just missed out on it.
A different multiverse.
That's too bad. Maybe a different galaxy.
We could be celebrating the 10th anniversary of Unicron trying to eat our planet.
I know. But we missed out.
But yes, Transformers game looks good.
Yeah, it looked fantastic.
I'll have to look up a trailer for that.
EA had a pretty awful conference. When they brought out Pele for that really awkward 10-minute conversation about nothing. Pele story time?
I didn't even watch EA. I just like looked up what they announced and then watched the trailers for what they announced.
You missed probably the most like awkward moment of EA, which was basically this person from EA Sports trying to convince a bunch of press people and like video game nerds that they should be really, really interested in listening to Pele talk about playing soccer.
Well, I mean,
and how great soccer is.
EA needs
you're talking
to
an American audience about
it while
soccer.
You're sitting down.
It's not going
to
go well.
EA needs to realize that, you know, they make the football, soccer, hockey, they make all those sports games year after year. So why spend so much time talking about them in their conferences?
Yeah, that's, like, here's the okay. When they show them off, I'm like, wow, that's really cool tech stuff, and like they should put them there because like they should talk about those games and show them off during the conference because they're important. What they shouldn't do is bring out people who literally have zero interest in video games and then have them not talk about games at all for like 10 minutes. Like, it was just this really awkward conversation with Pele about things that I don't give a shit about because I don't play soccer or have any interest in FIFA or anything related to that. And it was basically there so that this dude who like helped develop the FIFA game could talk to Pele. Like, it was just an excuse for him to talk to Pele.
I should have just done a trailer.
They did a trailer.
And then they talked to Pele.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get to watch it, but did anyone get to watch the Tony Hawk interview, and how did that go?
Oh, I didn't know there was a Tony Hawk interview.
Yeah, YouTube Live had an interview with Tony Hawk.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I guess that's the that YouTube Live at E3 thing that I guess Rooster Teeth is hosting it today. But
did they ask Tony Hawk, why are you still doing this?
Why not?
Why are you still making these?
For the money?
I mean, I am kind of excited for 5 because it's a return to form, but
it's Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 or 3, isn't it?
This one's 5.
Oh, 5. 5.
3 came out for like the PS1.
Oh yeah. Yeah, this is 5.
I stopped it.
Yeah, three. I remember talking about this. It's Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5, even though it's like the 15th Tony Hawk Pro Skater game.
Not really, because it does. All the other ones didn't have the Pro Skater subfix.
Yeah, whatever.
Subtitle.
It's like the 15th.
I mean,
if we're going by
the Tony Hawk Pro Skater lore, this should come after 4. All of those other ones were side stories. They were not canon. So
but one of them even had
Bam
an
Majera
8 in the name.
And whatever Project 8, that's not canon. So, yeah.
But it was the 8th game, and it had
that was
8 right in the name.
For the next Tony Hawk chapter, which is 5.
That's the Biggs the Cat of Tony Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But
what were we talking about? EA?
EA.
Yeah, EA.
So I'm really excited for that new Need for Speed game. Oh man, those FMVs, they got me all hyped.
If I made a game, I'd do an FMV game. I'd totally do it.
So the thing about Need for Speed is that they have the worst FMVs, and they came out and they were instantly just garbage. I was just like, man, this is the best. Need for Speed games are the best when they're at their worst. Those are the good ones. The really steaming hot mess ones. Those are the ones that I like.
It's like you walk into a garage and there's this redneck looking guy, and then a super
working
hot
on this
girl
tuner.
Mechanic. This what? Hey, customize your ride. Here you go. I don't understand.
The Need for Speed stuff is literally the best when it's the worst, and I'm just super excited to see some really garbage FMVs. And from everything coming out of E3, the people who made those FMVs think they're really good. Like, mm-hmm. Like in a this is not funny in a bad way. This is like serious shit. Like, they're not trying to make them funny. They're not trying to make them bad.
There's got to be one person that's like, guys, isn't this a little cheesy?
Not all that. Not out of the PR team that's at E3.
Maybe
and
like
one of the best. Okay, here's the best thing about these FMVs. They didn't even hire actors. They went out and found people who work like in the car scene. Like stars within kind of like,
oh yeah, they're supposed to be this, yeah,
like the racing scene. And so all of those people in those FMVs are not actors, which makes their acting even worse. Like, it's fantastic. Everything about those FMVs is just steaming hot garbage.
Like, do you think like an exec like goes to the development team, it's like, hey, my kid likes cars that go fast, but you need like someone to work on the cars. Oh yeah, we're gonna just model some characters. He's like, no, my kid really likes guys that walked out a step up. You know, you should put some nice glam in those and actual car people. My kid likes them. And then
I got this fuck up nephew who can't do anything right. Why don't you give him a job?
Yeah, he's looking for a job. You could say he's an intern or something. I don't know.
Do you have any jobs?
And that's how Need for Speed is made.
Yeah, like, as long as the racing is good and the FMVs are awful, then Need for Speed is always a great game.
I mean, I like Need for Speed Underground, so, and they said it would harken back to that, so I might try.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you watch the trailer, it looks like Need for Speed Underground.
Yeah. So I might give it a try. I wish they made another more Burnout like game, but...
Or like Need for Pee.
Whoa! This guy. Watch out for this guy. Right. Comedian on the mic right now.
Awful. You're awful.
Oh, we can't forget the Minions iPhone game.
No.
Oh man, that was the worst part about that fucking conference.
Everyone loves the Minions.
They like,
especially Todd, who is.
Everybody wants their own Minion army.
Okay, so
they got their own.
These little guys.
They got their own movie now too.
I don't care.
So the best / worst part about the E3 conference is that they knew that everyone was just there to see Star Wars Battlefront. And so the best part about it is that they just kept putting a timer up on the screen, like Star Wars Battlefront in 15 minutes, Star Wars Battlefront in 10 minutes. And then because that Pele thing ran late, all of the Star Wars Battlefront stuff got posted on YouTube automatically by EA before
They
got to it in the conference. So at some point, I just tuned out of the conference to watch the Battlefront part because it got posted to the internet before.
I didn't know that. I could have saved 5 minutes of my life.
Yeah, because Pele ran too long with his fucking Soccer's the Beautiful Game speech.
He's got stories.
He's got stories.
Story time.
But, like, they knew why people were watching, and so they just put a bunch of garbage before it because they knew that if they showed Battlefront, then no one would stay around. Everyone would tune out. So they had to show off a bunch of mobile games. They had to show off Garden Warfare 2, which, like...
Dude, I'm excited for that.
It looked so dumb. It's just...
I love Garden Warfare 1 looks so dumb, too, and I still love it.
It just seems like another Horde... Like, it's a game dedicated to Horde mode, and I don't understand why it exists.
Here's EA's thing.
What do you mean,
first,
Horde
they
mode?
Wow,
it's
you...
a PvP game.
But
they
weren't
you with
playing
Mass
against
Effect.
People. They were playing against fucking plant computers.
I thought it was PvP.
All of Garden Warfare 1 is PvP. There's a Horde mode, but it's mostly PvP. And Garden Warfare 2 is based around PvP too. They've already have stats of like half of the things you can play as. I've been looking into it. It's PvP. There's probably a Horde mode too because the first game had it, but it is a PvP game. It's basically a mock-up. It's basically a mock at Call of Duty.
But, yeah, so EA's strategy was this. First, they wow you and get your attention with Mass Effect. And then they just put all that filler. But once you're fading out, they have that little lower third that says, don't worry, guys, Star Wars is coming up. You guys like Star Wars, don't you? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll keep watching. And then they end it with Star Wars.
They also showed off some more Mirror's Edge.
Oh, yeah, they did. I guess that was like at the midpoint, because everyone's there for Mass Effect, Mirror's Edge, and Star Wars.
It was funny. I saw it on Reddit, and it was a post of like the head exec of EA or something, and the evil bad guy from Mirror's Edge, and they look exactly the same.
I think that guy looks like a robot.
Who?
The exec.
Oh, yeah. The guy who came out at the beginning, and he seems like he's really into sports and blow and strippers. That guy.
The only other thing they showed off that interested me was Unravel. That game.
That looked good.
That was the best looking game. Like,
I was reading into the gameplay of that game. And it's like, basically, you only have so much yarn, and if you run out, you lose, and you have to start from the beginning again.
Yeah, and then I think you can, like, swing off of your yarn in a way. Like, there's a physics-based puzzle platforming kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
But, like, the actual graphics of that game were super impressive in a way that I don't think anything else at E3 was. Like, graphically, that game reminds me a lot of Pikmin 3. Like, Pikmin 3, there's stuff in that that just looks like real life. And I'm like, this is super goddamn impressive. And that takes it to, like, another level. So
just playing Pikmin 3 can make me want to eat fruits and vegetables, so you know something's wrong.
Yeah, like, that fruit, man, it looked real good. Real good.
Those strawberries, they get me every time.
But yeah, Unraveled seemed like the neatest game, and also the presentation of that game was, that guy seemed so nervous, and it was like,
oh man,
look at this guy, he's so nervous to be up there.
I thought
on
he was
E3.
Gonna have a panic attack on stage, like they I think there was like a close-up of him,
but it was like
getting
endearing.
Out his doll, like getting out whatever Yarny, and like you see his hand just like almost like if nobody likes this doll, I'm going to collapse on stage right now.
Yeah, but it's like a small comp, like he that game doesn't seem like an EA game, and it's because it's not. It's made by like a Swedish indie developer, and so like it's a small company with a really small team, and I bet that guy is like designer and developer, and is just like, oh man, I'm so nervous, I can't like speak publicly, like super awkward, so, like software
stage.
Engineer. And
didn't EA do Grow Home also?
Ubisoft.
Oh, that was Ubisoft. Okay.
Yeah. So the reason why this game is like nothing like anything EA would publish is because EA ended the EA partner program, and so they don't publish games from other people. They develop their own games. They don't do independent publishing or publishing of independent studios anymore. And so, like, that's why you haven't seen a game that, like, of this kind of, I guess, scope out of EA in a long time. And it's because they only do, like, the DICE games, basically. But, yeah, then they showed that Battlefront stuff, and they said some things that sounded real dumb. They're like, here's our Battle of Hoth level, inspired by the Battle of Hoth from the films. And it's like, no shit, eh?
You guys like the films, right? You guys heard of Star Wars, right?
Here's a thing from the movies. It also seemed kind of frustrating that, like, I would like to see them demo anything but that. Because every single Star Wars game ever has that fucking level in it. Like, doesn't matter what you're doing or like what your Star Wars game is about, it always has a Battle of Hoth level where you fucking fly around. I can't remember the name of the ship because I'm not big enough of a Star Wars nerd, but you trip over the AT-T or the AT-AT and then it like fucking falls over, and with the, you know, with the line. You gotta do that with the line thing.
When they showed it off at Sony, I was kind of blown away by the graphics on some of the scenes, especially when they were on like the kind of canyony desert level. I couldn't believe like the graphics that it was using.
I love the Admiral Akbar like background chatter.
Yes.
Shit. And
was
I was
amazing.
Just waiting for that guy to like get an ultra kill and just have like Darth Vader come out and just be like, ultra kill. Because they basically had like fucking Quake sounds going on in that goddamn game. And I was just like, can we have Darth Vader announce our Quake sounds? Be pretty amazing.
Yes.
It was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. I will definitely be picking up Battlefront, so.
Is that
cool.
On Xbox One too?
Yeah, I mean, they're pushing it for PS4, like all of the marketing
is seem like they're pushing it that much for PS4 based off of like what I saw. Like they were on the stage, but I mean, they're like, as far as the actual marketing that EA is doing, they like haven't done much other than like, this game exists, you should buy it. But they had like last year they were on Xbox, so like,
yeah, well, like for the EA conference, I think they were like, and it's running on PS4 hardware. And I think at the PS4 or Sony conference, it said, like, you know, something, unleash the power of the PS4. I don't remember, but it all seems, I think Sony is just, you know, showcasing, it's like, hey, Battlefront for PS4, you know.
It's funny because the PlayStation 4 one, what I noticed was, like, exclusive DLC early, and then the Xbox one was actually like exclusive games. Like there wasn't much exclusive on the Sony conference.
Yeah.
But we'll save that for later.
You want to get on to Ubisoft?
Why not? There was no Rayman, so.
Yeah, I didn't watch this one.
So the Ubisoft conference was not as bad as the year with Mr. Caffeine.
Oh man, I miss Mr. Caffeine.
You miss.
Which one of the black chick again? Was that Ubisoft?
Yeah, Aisha Taylor.
She's been there, I think, 3 times now.
Yep. So, and they keep hiring her.
Because fucking, how many times did they have Mr. Caffeine? They had him
once.
No, it was more than once. Because there was the year. Okay, so I think there was. I think he was there twice. I think he was there 1 year.
The videos of him.
And then there was the second year is the year where he does the "Let's go back in time to the 80s." And he just keeps doing it over and over and over again for the whole fucking conference. And he's like, "You are the worst fucking presenter ever."
No, that's the thing about comedy. If nobody laughs the first time, you keep doing it, so then people laugh at it.
Yeah, I know. It totally worked for that Jamie Kennedy Activision one, too. Holy fuck. That guy, makes the joke about how Jamie Kennedy's an idiot, and everyone fucking laughs, and Jamie Kennedy's like, "Oh, you guys laugh for this guy?" And then a woman developer just, stands up and is like, "Because he's funnier than you." Fuck, that was the most awkward conference. Tony Hawk, why do you hang out with these nerds and play video games? What? I don't...
Oh, Jamie, you're so funny.
Look at all these virgins, guys. Wow, you're hilarious. Anyways.
Speaks my language.
They showed
he's
off...
the voice of a generation, Jamie Kennedy. Anyways, Mr. Caffeine, he's a funny guy. Sorely missed at the Ubisoft conference.
Yeah, it depends who you talk to. So we obviously saw the same stuff that everyone was expecting. We saw Assassin's Creed, The Crew, no Far Cry.
I was surprised that they were still talking about The Crew.
Well, the thing about The Crew is that they can't let it go down yet. Yeah. They need to keep that shit alive. So they're bringing out that expansion that it looked cool based on that expansion. Great, you get to ride around dirt bikes and monster trucks and shit. But one of the big complaints that people had about The Crew is that it's a racing game that lacks any sort of direction at all. And I don't think that adding monster trucks adds direction to that game.
What are you talking about?
Because they go off-road everywhere. Who needs a certain direction? Huh? Streets go one...
It's funny, most of the things that impressed me about the Ubisoft conference were games that I didn't even expect to be there.
What about the South Park game?
Yeah, that was the thing that got me. Yeah, that was my main impression from that. I cannot wait for that game. I cannot wait for Kunin Pals. I want it so bad. I want it in my fractured butthole.
The only thing that bugs me about that is that it's not done by Oblivion. Obsidian, and they did Stick of Truth, and it was fantastic. And I just hope that this doesn't isn't affected negatively by having a different development team.
Yeah,
but I totally see why Ubisoft would not contract out Obsidian to make a sequel because of how many delays they had in that game. But the thing is that you can't necessarily blame Obsidian for the delays because they had all of the problems with THQ. During the end of the development of that game.
I hope they get a little bit more creative control when it comes to censorship in the game. I hope Trey and Matt pushed for less censorship when it comes to this game.
Well, there was no censorship in the
they
first
were
one.
Actually censored a little bit, actually a good amount in the other one. There was a lot that they let through. But from what I read, that there was a lot that they weren't allowed to put in that they had to take out.
Well, I can't imagine them being censored less by Ubisoft. I would expect to see more of it because, THQ, when at the time of that development, would basically do anything to get money, right? Because, they were about to go down. So that's your time to, have free creative reign over your projects. But with Ubisoft, They don't have to let Trey and Matt do whatever they want because they have plenty of money.
The other thing that there's two things that interest me, but the other one that kind of really struck me was Wildlands, the new Ghost Recon game.
That actually looked pretty neat. That like open world Ghost Recon game where you kind of like set up these hits.
Ryan, were you just moving a bra? Did I see a bra?
No, that was a Mac charger.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw a bra. I thought I just saw you carrying a bra, and I was like, I don't know if I want to know.
Ryan likes to wear bras. It makes him feel sexy.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want, man.
All right. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't expect to be that impressed by a Ghost Recon game, but it really it struck me. I was like, wow, this is actually looks really fun. Always had something for like the target tracking and knocking down. Like that's one of the reasons I really love Mercenaries 1 was like finding the targets and taking them down.
Yeah, and like the thing about that new Ghost Recon game, about Ghost Recon, like before this announcement, is that you didn't really know where it would fit in like the modern world, because it was that last Ghost Recon game that was like free play, and it was garbage. It was not good. But this actually looks like it kind of has some potential, and it's been a long time since we've seen a Ghost Recon game, because I think the last one was what, Graw 2?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the last one I remember was Graw 2.
Or wasn't there an online one, like Ghost Recon Future Soldier something?
Yeah, that was the bad one.
Okay.
Yeah. But like other than that, it's been a long time. But I like to see that Ubisoft is starting to like focus back in on those Tom Clancy games. Like they're doing Rainbow Six Siege, which looks fantastic. They're doing The Division, which like
I want it.
From the way that people were talking about that game, it sounds like a Destiny that has a little like more content and is like more focused in on what it wants to be doing.
I also like that.
That sounds like it kind of fixes all of my fucking complaints with that previous game that I mentioned.
I'm interested in the multiplayer because I was watching it and it shows them and they're about to win and one of the teammates just fucking mows down his whole team and takes like everything for himself.
So
I'm like, this is amazing.
So I can explain that. So there's this thing called the Dark Zone, and you go out and there's like three teams of three, and you guys have like a PvE objective and you have to kill this thing and then like evac. And when you kill the thing, you like get a bunch of loot, and the loot's split up between all the teams. And then the teams can kill each other, but there's like a timer and they respawn back in. And so if you kill all the other teams and then evac out, then your team gets all the loot. But someone on your team can leave the team and become what they refer to as a rogue, which is what they showed at the end of that trailer, mow everyone down and take all the loot for themselves. But the disadvantage to becoming like rogue is that your respawn timer is longer, and so if you get killed, it takes you longer to get back in, and you can't rejoin a team. So you have less of a if you get killed, then you have less of a chance of getting any loot. And if they leave with the loot, then like you don't get anything, right? Whereas if all the teams don't fight each other, then everyone gets a little bit of loot.
I'd love to see a match where just everyone goes rogue.
Yeah, like. That's a really neat mechanic, actually.
I love it.
I like that dynamic. So,
was this in Siege or was this in?
That's in the Division.
Oh, Division. Okay.
That game, as soon as it was announced, what, 2 years ago, I think, or was it last year they announced it?
It's been 2 years.
Yeah, I instantly knew it was my kind of game. And then last year when they showed off more, I was like, okay, I want it really bad. And then they fucking postponed it. I'm like, okay, well, it's probably for the better. And now they showed off more.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's a pretty ambitious project, right?
Oh,
yeah. It seems like a huge project.
It's big. It looks big, and it looks amazing, and I want it so fucking bad.
Yeah, like, as far as the Ubisoft stuff goes, like, that's the one I'm most interested in. Well, I guess I really want Rainbow Six Siege, because I love the early Rainbow Six games, and, like, I love the tactical aspect of those games, like, as a shooter. And so I guess seeing as that game is more tangible and like is going to be here, whereas The Division, we don't really have like a solid date on yet. I'm more excited for Rainbow Six, but like as far as games that I'm looking forward to that don't have dates, The Division's the one I'm most excited about.
I forget what, I think it was in the Xbox conference, they announced that you'd be getting Vegas 1 and 2 if you bought it with the Xbox One with the backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
So that's a really nice add-on to it.
So you want to talk about Square Enix, or do you guys have anything left from Ubisoft that you...
I was going to say, interested me was...
no camera.
The Anno 2205.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I fucking love the Anno series. That's one of my favorite city builders.
I've never played it, but I love the whole, like, race to make a colony on space, kind on the moon kind of aspect of that game.
I have Steam sharing set up, and I have the previous Anno game that you might like, where you're on... So the Anno games is basically you're built... is the world is mostly water. It's an island world. And you have to build... The different islands have resources, like... certain resources on them that the other islands don't have. So you have to build your city on each island and then like start harvesting these things, and you have to build these trade routes to send your resources from one island to another and then like back to where they were before, so that you can build these like more advanced like goods, and then you can sell the goods or use the goods to build more advanced buildings. And like the Anno games they're a city builder that is really emphasized on trading rather than city building.
But so basically it seems like this one is like
very, the same thing but on the moon.
Yeah. From what I read though, it's gonna take a while to get to the moon. Yeah, they said like you have to build up a bunch of, like, you have to farm for a lot of materials to eventually be able to get there. It's not like an instant thing.
Yeah, so what it looks like is it looks like Anno 2070, which is the newest one, where it was like in the future, but you're on this like island world because all of the ice caps melted and the world flooded. So now there's just these big islands and it's based on Earth. So it looks like it's that at the beginning, and then you like get a spaceship and fly out to space.
It looked cool, and I was definitely interested by that one.
Yeah, the Anno series is fantastic. It's been going on a long time, and then the original ones are in like the 1600s. And then there was one called Dawn of Discovery, which was in Europe, it was an Anno game. Here it was called Dawn of Discovery, and then Dawn of Discovery Venice. And they're like set in the Renaissance era, and they're fantastic as well. But it's like it's a city builder, but with a really neat twist on city building. Because it's not like SimCity where like you're trying to like work out your traffic. You're trying to make trade routes and like set up efficient trade routes that get your goods to where they need to be. Yeah, super cool game. And then there's also like a bit of an army aspect to it, in that you can like build warships and go destroy other players' ships and steal their stuff. And yeah, really neat game. Square Enix.
Yeah, we can talk about things. Square Enix and fucking Creepy Mask Man.
So that dude, there's a dude who was on the Square Enix stage.
Oh, isn't a game developer that didn't, like, he's never shown his face?
He's shown his face, but he doesn't show it in public.
Yeah, public, I mean, like...
like, at big events, at, like, smaller developer conferences and stuff, like GDC or whatever, like, he doesn't wear a fucking crazy head. But at Tokyo Game Show and E3, he does, because he doesn't like to, like, be on stage and not have a mask.
I love the way he was clapping at the end, and I want a gif of it, because all you see is the super fucking creepy face and like wide open hands, like,
yeah, it was awkward.
It's amazing.
The end of that conference was super awkward, because they brought every single person that was out on the stage one at a time, re-announced them all, and everyone stood there clapping the whole time, and it took like 5 minutes.
Yep. That whole conference was just not impressive. Like, all of my notes are like, eh, okay, all right, cool. That's cool. Not enough information on that.
Well, like, the Square Enix Montreal stuff was cool. Like, I was glad to see that there's a Tomb Raider Go game coming out, because Hitman Go was so good, right? That was that... it's a phone game based on Hitman, and they basically made a board game but put it on mobile. Okay. And it basically encompasses everything that Hitman's about. Like, you could set up accidental deaths, mm-hmm, to like assassinate people. It was really neat. Like, it's like a $4 game, but it's like one of the best mobile games I've ever played. It's fantastic and it looks great. And the same team is doing a Tomb Raider game that looked like quite nice as well. So,
well, didn't Square Enix like show a lot of trailers that have already been shown. I know they showed, they were showing the Final Fantasy VII thing again. And they showed that
Just Cause 3, which had a guy telling you everything about it.
Dude, Just Cause 3. Oh, man. If Square Enix has a game coming out that I want, it's that one.
Square Enix can suck the life out of Just Cause 3.
I didn't like 2. Really? You didn't like it? Oh, man.
I tried playing it, and I'm just like, wow, there's just like, it's just explosions in this game.
That's why that game is fantastic. That's why the game is so good. And now you have a parachute. So, like, in 2, you had the parachute, but now you have a wingsuit. So now you, like, hook yourself up super high, shoot out with your wingsuit, fly around, then, like, pull your parachute so that you, like, slowly lower kind of straight down, and you have infinite C4.
Yeah.
I have a question, Ryan. Do you like the Transformers movies?
Yeah. Well, which one?
You know, the ones with explosions?
No, those ones, they're awful.
Yeah, but you like explosions. That's all that matters.
It's not all that matters. In movies and video games are different things, okay? If I'm making the explosions, it feels good. If I'm watching a bunch of explosions, it's kind of boring.
Okay.
Feels bad.
I understand.
Yeah. But, like, the new Just Cause looked fantastic. And I was watching the stream on Giant Bomb. And the way that played out, it was just like, Just Cause 3. And then Jeff Gerstmann was just like, okay, so the embargo's over on Just Cause 3. They're just about to talk about it, but I don't care. That game's the fucking best game at E3. It was just like, well then. Because like he's on the E3 judges panel, so he played all of the games early, and he's like, this is the game. Like, this is the coolest fucking game. I couldn't even figure out how to play it, so I just turned on God mode and just killed everything and blew up the whole island. It was fantastic. I was just like, all right then. And then he's like, yeah, I made so many explosions it crashed the game, and I don't give a shit. Best game at E3.
Sounds great.
Yeah, you can hook to anything now and just blow up everything. It looked amazing.
I haven't
yet
to play Just Cause 2, but I think it came out with games with gold on Xbox, so I think I have it downloaded. But like it, I know Just Cause 3 just kind of reminds me of, well, any of those games just remind me of like either like Saints Row 3 or 4, where it's just crazy, wacky shenanigans. So yeah. I'm excited.
The only thing that excited me during the Square Enix show was Kingdom Hearts 3. I was like the only, and the Final Fantasy VII remake, I guess, because that'll actually give me a reason to finish that game. I got pretty far into Final Fantasy VII, but never finished it, so I may play the remake.
I got stuck in Cosmo Canyon the first time I played it, because I went there too early in the game. I was like, I'm not grinding for like 2 days just to get out of this place.
But yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3 looks beautiful. I love everything they showed of it.
Yeah, I won't understand the story, but I'll enjoy playing it.
Yeah, that's about right.
No one understands the story. If they say they do, they're lying to you.
It's got Tangled in it. What?
I gotta watch that movie now.
How exciting.
I heard it was good, and my girlfriend wanted me to watch it, so I guess it's giving me a reason to watch it.
What's that? They gotta put in a world of Oliver and Company. That's what they gotta put a world in. Disney movie Oliver and Company. Now I'd be down with that.
We need Star Wars and Marvel.
See, but everyone's saying that.
Fine, we need
Oliver and Company.
There's going to be Star Wars and Marvel. Darth Vader in one of the trailers already?
No.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure they stated last year. They hadn't had Star Wars in, but it was something that they were thinking about.
Oh. Yeah, like the Square Enix one was kind of slow just because they kind of announced a bunch of stuff. The guy who was fucking who was running the Square Enix conference, he's the same guy who ran the Square Enix conference at a Tokyo Game Show when he was like, do you guys like Final Fantasy VII? And this is like during last summer, and everyone's like freaking out. And he's like, well, do I have news for you? Because we're going to bring out Final Fantasy VII on the PS4. Do you guys want that? And everyone's like, yeah, we're going to do the remake. yeah, oh my god, how insane. And then he's like, yeah, we're bringing over this PC port to PS4. And was like, literally just started booing him. Like, he likes to that just stand the, there and what, fucking the
PlayStation Experience or something.
Yeah, it was the PlayStation Experience, and then I think he did something at Tokyo Game Show as well. But like,
I love how there's the
that guy
the...
literally likes to just troll the crowd that is at the conference. Like, he's the worst presenter because he like builds you up and then just like gives you nothing. Gives you there nothing was... at all.
There's the horrible like troll and build up to Kingdom Hearts 3, because it was like director of Kingdom Hearts, and he comes out and then he talks about something that had nothing to do with Kingdom Hearts, and then he's like, now for some Kingdom Hearts, what you've been waiting for, and they showed off the fucking like iPhone game, and then they finally yeah. went into Kingdom Hearts 3 after that.
Yeah, well, I don't know what Square Enix is doing.
Then they talk about the guy for it's like, oh yeah, we're putting a Tangled World in there. Okay, now the trailer. Oh wait, the guy that I was talking to is now in the audience. Hey, okay, now the trailer.
Fucking that's Square not... Enix. I don't know what they're. What are they doing over there?
And they showed off. Didn't they show off like two games that like weren't even in development yet, and it was just like screenshots with like them talking about it. Because I know there's projects. There's Project Setsuna, which they like didn't show anything.
They
for.
Showed the new Nier, and yeah, they don't and even have a Nier. Name for it. There's like Nier New Project,
which is also
that's the
by
name
Platinum.
That they have for that. It's just like, all right, that's another one Platinum's doing. I mean, Platinum, they're doing all the games, all the yeah. fucking video games.
You just have a Platinum convention.
New Star Ocean.
Star Ocean. Yeah.
I've never played any of them, but and Deus Ex looked pretty cool.
Yeah, Deus Ex looked nice, but we all knew that was coming, and that's an yeah, Eidos thing, like, anyways. That's that thing that that Square Enix doesn't like, and then found out it actually made money.
They didn't like doing like the designs for Deus Ex.
Square Enix Japan doesn't like Eidos.
Oh.
Because they're filthy Westerners or something.
They don't like any of the Western things.
Yeah, they don't like any of the stuff that Eidos comes out with.
Didn't they say when Tomb Raider came out? Was yeah. it them that were like,
Tomb Raider
oh, 2.2 million copies?
Well
that's not
Why do
enough.
You make characters look different? Why they're supposed to all look the same? Like Final Fantasy, you can only tell them apart because of their different hairstyles.
It was funny. There's a bunch of people who were pissed off because I guess they played Chrono Trigger music at some point and everyone thought they were going to announce a new Chrono Trigger. I was like, why would you even think that would happen?
Yeah, we know that's never gonna happen.
People are tweeting is like, why someone on my Twitter feed was like, Square Enix, why don't you ever make remakes of good RPGs? It's like,
to be fair, Final Fantasy 7, not a good RPG.
No, it's really not. It's,
we'll talk about it when we get to Final Fantasy VII. I don't know why people are so hyped about that.
Because it's the first RPG people played on the PlayStation? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. The first one I played was 8, and I love 8, but I guess everyone hates 8, so...
No, oh, man. I think okay. that most Final Fantasy fans think that 8 is better than 7.
Everyone I know hates 8, and I blame Spoonie for that.
Fair enough.
I love 8. Don't worry. I got you back.
Thank you. Thanks, Ryan.
All right. You guys want to take a quick break? This will be where we break the recording and then do our next episode.
We'll move to the three first parties.
Yeah. That's where we get the interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Get another candy bar.
Well,
I'm going to go get some juice.
Well, okay. Don't leave yet. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the first part of the E3 podcast. We'll be back very soon with the second part.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.